Habakkuk chapter 3. I think I'm going to finish up the book of Habakkuk this morning. At least I hope so. Brother Scott, you should have got those notes. Okay. I'll send you those other notes here in a few minutes, okay? Anyway, Lord's been good to us, and praise the Lord for these temperatures getting better. My spirit's better. There's no doubt about that. So, amen. Brother Ray, why don't you ask a blessing on the Sunday school offering, buddy? Amen. Habakkuk chapter 3. Thank you, Caden. I appreciate it. We're going to make a man out of you yet. Hallelujah. I do have a Brother Mike Carson book, Growing Grass, or Good Grass. If you'd like to have a copy, those are $10. They're a fantastic book. I'm reading through it right now. Brother Mike's a good writer. By the way, church family, we need to be praying. Brother Mike needs two things. And one of them is he needs a 5x8 or a 5x10 enclosed trailer. Mike Carson, Brother Mike Carson. He needs a 5x8 or a 5x10 enclosed trailer. And he's wanting to purchase one and then have to resell it because he won't need it. But he's going to take a trip out to Alaska. And he wants to have something to take books and some other stuff. He needs a vehicle. So we've been praying about that this week. We've been trying to figure out what the Lord would have us do. If you know of anything, we've been looking on Facebook Marketplace. It seems like those are the cheaper prices. This week I'm going to try to go to a dealership that I know up in St. John's, see what they have. I'm praying that the Lord would just give him one to use. Because that's all he needs it for, just one use, out to Alaska and back. So that's what I'm praying for, that maybe somebody out there would step up and might have one. I got to get a hold of some preachers this week to see if they know of anybody, and we'll go from there. What's amazing to me is, church family, churches will say, hey, we'll help you, just let us know. And Brother Mike tries to let them know. And a lot of missionaries, Abigail, she's told me stories, and I've heard stories from a lot of other missionaries. Brother White, you know, all these churches say, oh, I'll help you with whatever you need. But then when it comes time to need, nobody helps. Right. Catherine, you ever found that in life? Yeah. Isn't that crazy? You know who your friends are when you need help. Yeah. And church family, in the last 11 weeks, I have been down, and I really appreciate it. And, boy, I'll tell you, you know who loves you when you're down. Yesterday I had some food brought to the house, and that was a real blessing. By the way, if here in the room, church family, if you're in need of something, let us know. If we can, we'll do our best, or we'll figure something out. Well, Brother Mike called me on Friday talking to me about this trailer situation and what he needs to do. And so what he's thinking is, this trailer, if he had to, he and sister could actually sleep in it, just throw a bunk down. Of course, Mike is an old Marine, and Sister Terry's pretty tough. I told him, I said, Jamie and I couldn't do that. We're not that tough anymore. It's a motel room, amen? But be praying for Brother Mike and Sister Terry. Others, I talked to Brother White this week, Brother Brenton, and their needs, sister's needs. Abigail had sent an email and just telling me a little bit about this. What I have done, church family, I hope, I probably should have told you about it, but I know y'all trust me and I appreciate that. Trust is earned and trust is lost pretty quick too, you know. And anyway, I get a lot of calls from pastors and missionaries, emails and whatnot. Just really, really, really struggling. And I've told him, I said, come to the house. That day that Abigail came in, she needed to be around some family. She told me that. Because it's such a struggle out there. A single woman knows that the Lord's called her. Just being a single woman. Right. Amen. And I hope and pray that our church is always a help. And I've told him, call me. And I've told you this before, I know, but I just want to reiterate this. that if you want to call and complain, call and complain. Right, Sister Rachel? Just call. Just call. I'll listen to you for a little bit. For just a little bit. And then I'll tell you that you need to get, like Rachel calls, she's got a problem. Of course, it always goes back, honey, you know this. If you would just get that Wolverine junk out of your house.
I don't call.
Yeah, but you're welcome to call. Catherine, you're welcome to call. Karis, you're not. I'm just kidding. I didn't get my Friday call this week. Please forgive me. I get busy. Well, my sleep schedule's been kind of goofy. So as we come to Habakkuk, I say all that because it's part of the message. None of us are perfect in here. All of us are struggling with something. Sister Rachel with Ray, Sister Jamie with her kids. Yes, ma'am. Catherine just gave me that look. Anyway, Habakkuk chapter 3. And verse number 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. What a verse. A verse of despair. A verse of famine. A verse of ultimate struggles. Today, whether you agree with President Trump or not, you talk to the Iranians, and I've known a few. You talk to the Iranians here in America, and they'll tell you the greatest thing could ever happen is what President Trump has done. Now, how all this fits into God's grand scheme of the future, the present and the future, I don't know. I'm not going to try to understand, nor am I going to try to figure out what God's mind is. There's no way. I'm a finite being and he's infinite. And with that, look at verse 16. Now, I read verse 17 first. Why is verse 17 saying what it's saying? Why is he in such despair? Look at verse 16. When I heard, my belly trembled. Have y'all ever been so hungry that your stomach hurt? Have you ever had any digestive issues so bad that you had cramps and you had struggles? When those guts get all mixed up and you're nervous and everything's going on, you know one of the greatest reasons why people don't play golf very good? It's because of their nerves. Especially, I can take a nice, be careful. I can take just a nice practice swing, put a ball in there, and everything changes. Whenever your mind is focused and you're not, and you know, okay, I got a 150-yard shot into the green. I want it to stop and maybe roll 6 feet. Okay. That's how precise these pros can be. Now, David tries to be. Instead of 6 feet, it might be 16 feet. It depends. But precision, when your mind is empty and you maybe just kind of going through it, you set up to the ball, all of a sudden, because the ball's there, it changes your psyche. And you try to do it perfect. Does that sound like anything?
Oh, yes.
Cooking, sewing, anything in your life, going to work. Can we ultimately, and even I'm going to throw Brother Scott in on this, can we do every job perfectly? Can we do any job perfectly? No, so we'll get, we went to the Wilds, I was 11 or 12, Asheville, North Carolina. And I remember the night before, I was so excited. But when I got my clothes in my bag and I'm on the bus with Pastor Charlie, I'm nervous. We get there to Asheville, North Carolina. We had to drive 12, 13 hours. And I'm nervous. Y'all ever been like that? Going to camp, I'm nervous. The first time I held Miss Jamie's hand, I was nervous. You ever get nervous like that? Hey, I don't know if getting up here in front of you, I get nervous. I said I was in a service. We were at Perry that day, And we was at the camp meeting. Brother Ralph had me preaching. And I said, y'all had to forgive me. The room's just full of people. I'm so nervous. Well, after the service, Snoopy, Brother David Grant, one of the greatest men I've ever known, after the service, he come and grabbed me. And normally when people want to do that, they want to set you straight. Brother David didn't. Oh, Snoopy, he grabbed me, hugged me. He says, I want you to know that when a preacher stands in the pulpit to preach the word, we get nervous sitting in the pew. I was like, okay, I understand that. To this day, this is nerve-wracking to me. That's why you got to have your notes. That's why you've got to study. That's why you've got to pray. I'm going to tell you, that's why you got to love God and the people that God allows you to preach to or teach. You ever get in front of anybody and have to teach something? Miss Catherine, can you imagine trying to teach the most knuckleheads that are working with you for the first time? Sister Jamie, dealing with that office over there and some of the knuckleheads that are there. Sister Rachel, waking up in the morning knowing you got to teach Ray something again. He's just sitting back here. By the way, go blue. I'm going to ask God to forgive me, but I was rooting for him the other night. Hey, beloved, all this makes us nervous. He says, my belly. When I heard, my belly trembled. Karis Ashton, to the principal's office, please. Still to this day, that bothers you. Anybody else like that? Catherine, to the principal's office. Immediately, please. You done did it again. And especially if mama calls you by your full name, you get just a tad nervous, your belly. What did I do now? There are times when I'll have people call me and I'll see who's calling me and it's like, oh no. Oh, what's the problem now? Especially at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I have a horrible habit that I want to fix the problem so we can get to the next one. But even then, that's not wise in trying to help troubleshoot. It's like Brother Mike Carson with this situation we're speaking about. And we prayed on the phone and I said, Brother Mike, just don't let your head spin on your neck. That's what the devil wants. When your head's spinning on your neck, you're discouraged, you're worried, you're fearing what might happen here. He says, when I trembled, though, this passage to me, in my opinion, and I'm going to preach this, is what the true fear of God should be all about. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Y'all ever seen a baby with their lips quivering? A little baby that's cut themselves, a toddler, a junior, and they just broke mom's favorite coffee cup or favorite cup, and their lips are just quivering, worried about getting this or getting that. I mean, my lips quiver every time I go home. I'm wondering what mom's going to do. By the way, next Sunday, after church, Jamie and I are going to go home for a couple days and see our parents. And I'm going to be worried. What am I walking into? Because as soon as I get into the house, mom will hug me and smack me on the bottom. It's not right. I am going to be 57 years old this year, and my mom still spanks me. Of course, I know her and Jamie are having conversations. I know that's what it is. This is Habakkuk seeing himself in chapter 1. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. In chapter 2, he says, fine, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, what I shall answer when I am reproved. All right, I'm just going to go back to what I know to do. I know he's going to reprove me now. I done told him. I said, Lord, when are you going to hear me? I've done that. You done that? My back, my leg, my knee, my headache, the struggles with kids, grandkids. I tell you what, the older I get, the better off I am when I hear the problem, Lord, here you go, and then try not to fix it. There's a whole lot of problems that come in, whether it be for your children, your grandchildren, a church member, or whatever it may be. Brother and sisters, we're just to know about it and give it to the Lord Jesus so that we don't carry it. And I am the world's worst at carrying it. How many times, and I try not to do it now, and I think I'm better at it. I pray I am. But I remember there were many, many years ago dealing with church struggles. We would buy these big, when you could afford them, the big candy things from Sam's Club. And we would hide them. And Jamie even said it one time. She says, yeah, I saw Dave grab the bag of candy. And it's like midnight, 1 o'clock. He's got a problem he's dealing with. Now I just walk. A lot of time, I know you're going to laugh. And I got to bring those golf balls. Remind me to bring those golf balls sometime. But I have 2 golf balls and I'll just walk around the house. I'll come over here and get on the treadmill. I got these, I guess they're fidget tools or something. And I'll be thinking through a problem. Lord, how do I solve this problem? Lord, how do we solve that problem? This struggle is huge. God, what are we going to... It's not huge to God. We get fear within us and we have all these problems. And then Habakkuk says in verse 1 of chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk. He's gone to being mad at God and being upset with God. Why aren't you listening? And then chapter 5, if you're not going to listen, Lord, I'm just going to go back to where I know to do. I'm just going to go ahead and do it until you come and reprove me. And as the Lord begins to speak to him and work in his life and work in his heart, he has to say, Lord, forgive me. He mentions in verse number 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Made mention in this verse, Lord, I need revival in my own spirit. Boy, I tell you, there's so many lessons I have learned in the last year and a half to 2 years about David. With the knee, the back, with this problem, that problem, watching you struggle. Brother Ray mentioned that Rachel had hurt her back yesterday, and I'm thinking, oh, God bless her. All she needs is one more problem. Anybody else like that? You ever say that to the Lord? Lord, I don't need this. Yes, you do. Pastor Charlie used to tell us that God, or our disappointments are God's appointments. And these struggles and troubles just get us back to Psalm 91:1. So that we're not just running in and out, that we're actually spending time with him. Brother Mike, I texted him this morning, just go get your marching orders, soldier. Christian, go to the Lord Jesus every morning. Get your marching orders. He'll help you troubleshoot. Your problem is, and my problem is, I try to troubleshoot and fix the problem when the problem's way too big for me to fix. And it's stupid to worry about it. How many things are we worried about that, and I mean this, out of a million things, how many of them have you got any control over and actually can fix it and help it? None. The only reason why you can do those few miscarriages is because God's put it here. And God's put it here. Without the Lord working through the problem and troubleshooting the problem, there is not one problem that we can actually truly 100% fix. The troubles are because of sin in Habakkuk. He mentions the famineist area there. Let's go back to verse 16. And when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. That's weakness. You realize how weak we are? And I have to say, Lord, please forgive me for even thinking I'm strong at all. My biggest weakness is just David trusting the Lord. My biggest weaknesses, I can't pick anything up off the ground without somebody doing it, or I get my little grabber out. I come home, Micah or I left the bathroom door open. This is on Friday, this Friday. Opie likes to get in there and chew on the Q-tips. He won't chew on anything else in the trash, but he likes to chew on the Q-tips because I think they got earwax. And I for some reason, he's attracted to earwax. The trash can in the bathroom's all over the place. Did I text you and tell you that, or was it Micah? It was you, okay. And I'm like, well, how am I going to pick this up? Well, I'll just sweep it up till somebody can come to the house and pick it up for me. I picked it up in a little pile. And you know what I did? I got my grabber out. Margie says she's got one of those grabbers on every level of their house. Basement, first floor, and second floor. Baby, I don't know. Maybe I need to do that myself. You know, my problem is, Miss Karis, Sister Rachel, Sister Catherine, I got my little picker-upper over here by my chair. But I'll be down in the basement. I drop something. Walk back up the stairs. Go get my grabber. Walk back down the stairs. Pick it up. Put it where it needs to go. And leave it there while I'm there. But how many times do I leave the room and it's right over there? You realize how finite we really are. He mentions the rottenness in the bones as strength. He says, and I trembled in myself. Have you ever been so weak going up and down stairs that your legs quiver? They tremble? I've got to a point now because I've been doing so much and I've been really trying hard to get rid of that. I've got to a point now I don't have any more quiver in my legs. And of course, getting junk out of my diet's been a big help, and drinking a lot more water. By the way, friends, you need more water than you think you need. But getting that water in and trying to walk when it's nice outside. Of course, I got this bone stimulator belt that I have to wear 2 hours a day. So the electromagnetic current. And it has I'll bring it to church one day and show it to you. With the electrical current, it actually causes the bone to grow faster. And so that fusion in my back, the bone's got to grow. Being a diabetic kind of hurts. Genetics, you know, some people heal faster than other people. I feel really good right now, but if I'm not careful, I'll do something really stupid and I'll ruin the doctor's work. So I have to be cautious in that. But all of this is said to what he says in verse 18. Let me finish the verse. I trembled in myself. You see that in the middle of the part of the verse? That I might rest in the day of trouble. That's our struggle. We're not resting in the day of trouble. So he says, and when he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Strength in God. So what does that all help? Well, look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. What does he say? Yet. This morning, and we'll probably go back through this next week and more, but we're to rejoice the Lord in the bad. And I'm the worst one to rejoice in the good, grumble, complain, and be upset in the bad. I know none of y'all do that. I know that. I know. Brother Ray has never been upset because the referees let him punch him on the football field. Let Michigan State beat up on Michigan. And of course, we always have to remind Brother Ray, and he's always upset about this, of the 10 seconds that it took him to lose a game. I'm amazed now with Coach Izzo. Coach Izzo lost, that they were beat in the first 3 to 5 minutes of that game. And they worked so hard to come back, they had nothing left in the end. Even Coach Izzo even said that. And it's just what happens when you get tired. These guys have already played so many games. By the way, basketball is super physical. I don't care who you are, what your age is. I don't care how tall you are or how athletic you are. Your body wears down over time. Michigan right now has got a great team. They have more players that can handle the situation. Generally on a college team, 7 to 8 guys are going to play and that's it. Michigan's got 10 that can do it. And you take those extra two bodies, they don't get so tired. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now his attitude has changed from, Lord, aren't you listening? Fine, Lord, I'm just going to go back to what you call me to do, to this psalm of praise, this prayer of singing, and the reviving of the work, the reviving of his life, the reviving of his heart. You know, church, I feel like in my own spirit, I've had a revival the last year and a half, especially the last 11 weeks. I don't ache anymore. And boy, you know, when you ache, it just, doesn't it sour you a little bit? Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. When's he rejoicing? When is he praising God? Well, in the good, but also in the bad. Had a conversation last night with a missionary who's coming second Sunday of April. I can't wait for you to meet her. And I just lost her name. I just lost her ministry. But we had a second conversation, just a sweetheart. She's from Arkansas originally. So her and I are on pretty much the same wavelength. Miss Catherine, you're going to love her. And Sister Karis, you're going to love her. That old Southern flavoring and sauce and struggling. And she'll tell you more about her ministry and all when she's here. But a great conversation to another conversation with a young pastor that's going through a problem and is ready to leave the ministry. Brother Garver, how have you done it for so many years? I haven't. And that's a settling, restful maturity that you arrive to at some point in your ministry or some point in your life. Now, Sister Jamie's had all that together. She's definitely more mature than I am. Of course, y'all already knew that. Brother Ray, relax, okay? He's shaking his head so hard, I'm afraid his brain's going to crash in there. I mean, the two squirrels that are working in it are going to crash. Ray's right. You know, in a marriage, there's always one that's going to be more mature than the other. And I will say probably 9 out of 10 marriages, the woman's a lot more mature than the man is. But understand this, the man's got so much coming at him. Because, you know, he is the one that catches all the fiery darts. He's the umbrella of the family. And the husband, especially if he's going to do it right according to Scripture, he's going to catch all kind of grief. Because the devil wants to destroy him so he can destroy the family. The devil's been doing it for a lot of years. Rejoice in the Lord in the bad. He mentions in verse number 19, watch this. The Lord God is my strength. So here's a realization. Here is the one that was saying, Lord, aren't you going to listen? Don't you even care? To, I'm just going to do whatever. To, Lord God, revive the work. Forgive me. Help me. Let me sing of thy strength. Let me sing of thy power, thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. He mentions here, the Lord God is my strength. You have to become weak before you'll ever know that he's strong. Our back is out of place, Sister Karis, Sister Rachel, for you and I to figure out that we don't have to do it all. We don't. That's the beauty of it. Without going into great detail, if I didn't have the wife I had, I had no clue as to how I'd wipe my bottom. That's how bad my back's been. And you don't think God's trying to get a hold of my attention on that? To make David better for you? And then to lovingly say, hey, listen, you might need somebody to wipe your backside because you're so weak. That's why King David said in Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, he's a lifter up of mine head. You ever get so weak, you ever get in so much pain, you ever have so much trouble that your head just droops down? And he has to come along and just lift your head up because you don't have any strength? That's the greatness of God. And that is, beloved, the encouragement of having a God like that. When you ain't got a clue, when you haven't got a clue, you're hurting, you're upset. Did you ever have mom, dad, grandma, grandpa? Did you ever have somebody in your life just come up, put their hands on your face and say, hey, relax. We used to have kids, and you've probably done this too, whether it was in children's church with some of the younger ones or whatnot, ball team or whatever it was, come up to them and go, whew. Y'all ever done that? What am I trying to do? Get them to breathe. Y'all ever seen that happen? And I'm trying to remember where we're at in different things, but just to get them to calm down. What'd you do that for? Get you to breathe? Get you to listen? Now, I will tell you this. You will rejoice in him in the bad once you get to a point that you see him in that way. Watch what he does. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make me, my feet, like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. He allows us to get above the problem. He builds us so that we can walk in the high places. He that dwelleth in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't you reckon that that's a pretty high place to be? But through the Lord Jesus Christ, He's made a way for us to get there. You get above the problem. If you've ever been in the mountains, now I've never been in the Rockies. I want to go to the Rockies. If there's a bucket list item, I'd love to go fishing in Wyoming or somewhere, or even on the other side of Northern California or into Oregon or Washington. I'd love to go see the mountains the way they are out there. But if you've ever had a chance to stand up on a mountain, I have in the Appalachians many times in many places. But to get up there and to overlook a valley that goes down 2,000 or 3,000 feet, the youth camp I've made mention to you before, I can remember we come up the road across along a mountain to get up into there. And there's a huge lake out over here. So to the east, so it would be this direction. To watch the sun come up, there's two mountains out there. You're up in here and you see the lake, and that sun comes right between those two mountains. And you can see it, and you're standing out there at your cup of coffee, Brother Ray, being all spiritual. Maybe with a donut. And you're just watching that. Sitting in a rocking chair. They had some rocking chairs there at that youth camp. And just sitting out there watching, just rocking back and forth. And that sun comes up. Beloved, He will make my feet like hinds' feet. These are much like a ram or a, mountain lion. If you ever see how their feet are made, a deer, their feet are made so that they can walk up through that. Being able to, you think about, oh, there's so much here. I didn't even write, I'm not going to get to my notes probably. But He makes it so we can get above the problem. In the problem, getting through the problem, He makes our feet so we can do it. Well, so the feet are shaped. What about the muscle in those legs? How about the desire in your heart? One of the biggest struggles we have in athleticism is having the desire to push when you don't want to push no more. A couple of my coaches used to say, finish stronger than you started. I've been using that in our martial arts. And church family, I'll tell you, we need to be stronger than when we start. I think the morning time is so important. Especially as I've been recuperating and recovering and just throughout life, if I can get up early enough without all the problems coming up, I can get a good walk in. I can get a good workout in. I can plan my day. And by the way, I would say plan tomorrow the night before. Well, we're not supposed to take no thought for tomorrow. That's not what He means there. You just don't know what a day will bring, right? That's why you get a chance. You might want to tell that individual you love them. Possibly could be the last time. He mentions here that His feet are made like this. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. It won't happen while you're over in chapter 1. And it doesn't happen when you're in chapter 2. But it does happen in chapter 3. It happens at the height of problems. Because He has seen that the fig tree is not going to have any blossom. There's going to be no fruit in the field. Famine. Listen, friends, there's a lot of different famines out there. There's a physical famine, but there's a spiritual famine going on. I think more and more and more as I see that spiritual, the spiritual famine, the more and more and more and more and more I know we've got to be in the King James Bible and in nothing else. Because what? Amos tells us there's going to be a famine of hearing my word. I don't understand it. That's why you and I as believers need to be constantly putting fresh bread, because you just never know who may need to eat from that fresh bread. Whether you're pastoring a church or just being a believer. There's a whole lot of responsibilities on believers. I get a kick out of the many, many years ago when I first started pastoring, people would say, well, that's your job. It's our job as a believer. You know, I think sometimes, too, we worry and struggle with stuff that we have no worry about. You got these hinds feet. Your feet are made to walk. You got the strength in your legs from God. You got all this going on. And you look over to the right, and there's a drop. Well, if you've ever been out in the mountains, you can see that drop. And my first thought is, boy, Sister Catherine, I sure hope I don't start rolling down that away. Right? Man, if I start rolling back there, I'm going to hit 7,000 trees. I'm going to knock myself out. May not be able to get back up again. Boy, that hill's pretty deep over there. Man, I may start rolling and never stop. But that's not what the Lord does. That's why we can rejoice in the Lord, both in the good and in the bad. Our time is up this morning. We're going to have to finish these notes up. Yet, verse 16, his belly is trembling. His lips are quivering. He's got no strength. He's got rottenness in his bones. The fig tree has nothing to it. No fruit in the field. No herd in the stalls. No sheep. No chickens. No livestock whatsoever. Where are we going to eat from? Habakkuk now, in the first part of chapter 3, remembers back to Abraham. Remembers back to Moses. Remembers back to Joshua. And beloved, my pastor taught me this, and I'll finish with this. If you're struggling, go to God in prayer just like this. Lord God, you're the same God that provided for Abraham. Lord God, you're the same God that called Jacob. You are the same God that blessed Isaac. You're the same God that brought manna. You're the same God that brought water out of a rock. Lord, you're the same God that brought the waters down on Egypt. You're the same, and just start praising Him. I need your help. I need your provision. I need your strength. Listen, friends, ibuprofen isn't good enough to do what God can do. No Tylenol pill will ever fix it. No drug, nothing this, nothing that. So you know what I start doing? Jamie will tell you, when I start getting anxious or full of energy, I just start walking. I can't wait for them to say, Dave, you can go back to life. I didn't realize how much I missed it. So this morning for Sunday school, beloved, yet while I rejoice in the Lord. Now next week we'll see what my notes have to say, so keep your notes and bring them back to church with you next week, because there's a whole lot of thoughts here that we need to look at in this. Father, thank you for Sunday school, and I pray it's been a help. I pray it's been an encouragement. Thank you for showing us to be weak and you to be strong. Thank you for showing us to not be able to provide for ourselves, but that provision has got to come through you. And no matter the problem. Now, Lord, this week we're all going to be struggling and having troubles. Would you remind us of these passages, please, Lord? I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.